The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, Buzz, it's been called the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
I understand.
The Kentucky Derby, and it ran this past Saturday. And what a lot of people don't know is after the race is over, a lot of times the jockeys hang out at Churchill Downs.
I'm not a bit surprised. A bit of camaraderie, I expect.
And a lot of them are still in the locker room. I think you can actually hear the locker room.
Yeah, that sounds
even
like
as
it.
We speak. But let's go to the line if we are there. Hello, locker room, Churchill Downs. Are
anybody at the mic?
Is anyone there? Is anyone there?
Anybody at the mic?
Rob, we have the locker room.
Okay, thank you. That was our.
You're gonna have to ask for the disc jockey.
Oh, a stable boy.
Disc jockey?
I mean the jockeys.
I want to thank
you
the fact
you screwed the bit up.
I did not. I'm just glad we have a producer.
Is
on
that
end.
Wendell Hall?
It is Wendell Hall, our executive producer.
What's going on?
All right. If we are at the locker room, yes. I want to first speak to the jockey. The jockey who rode the scratched number one horse, Black Onyx, is Joe Bravo there. Joe.
Hello.
Joe Bravo, jockey.
Hey, how you doing?
Is it Joe Bravo?
Yeah, I'm Joe Bravo.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Were you disappointed that your horse was scratched?
Hell yeah. Well, you know, I lost. I lost.
You what?
I said I lost.
You lost?
Of course I'm not happy. If it was up to me, I'd win every race. Sorry for the echo. We're in the locker room.
Oh, yeah, well, I understand.
We're all trying to make weight. You know, how you doing over there, Angel? Yeah, right.
You're done.
Right. They're all making weight. Constant eating, pooping, X-lax,
yeah.
Laxatives, binging, purging.
Yeah, Greek yogurt.
Eating disorders are part of the game.
You do a lot of Greek yogurt?
Oh, a lot of Greek yogurt.
I understand.
Goes right through you.
If you have a moment, I'd like to speak to the jockey on Oxbow. Is Gary Stevens there?
Wait, we're done?
We're done.
All right, Gary.
Thanks, Joe.
We're going to talk to jockey Gary Stevens now.
Yeah, I used to work.
Buenos ding dong diddly diddly diddly.
Oh, how are you, Gary?
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm great.
And how
Gary Stevens.
Yeah. Sounds like a disc jockey name.
Yeah, it's very. You can't get a whiter name than that.
Did you have fun at the Derby?
Excuse me just a minute.
Oh.
There we go. Okay.
Oh, really?
Gary Stevens here. What can I do for you?
Well, you know,
Mercy
Gary.
Mercy flush.
Since the fact that you.
I am Gary Stevens.
You did not finish in the money.
I did not finish in the money. I've never finished in the money.
I would like.
I'm very fortunate to get a ride.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I mean a ride home. I would say it's a ride if you're going home, and it's a mount if you're going to be in a race.
Hey, you know, speaking of mounting.
Yes.
As a jockey.
Yes, as a jockey. I've been a jockey my whole life.
Do you do a lot of boning?
Oh, I bone constantly.
How long since you've last boned?
I boned this morning.
Did you? I thought you maybe wouldn't bone on race day.
I boned one of the other jockeys.
Oh.
Who will go nameless. Do your own thinking there. Gary Stevens. Gary Stevens.
Gary,
I know his name.
Gary, is Calvin Burrell there?
Yeah, just a second.
Okay.
I wonder if Calvin's the guy.
Might be the guy.
Hello.
Hi, Calvin.
How are you doing?
Do you bone?
No.
No, you didn't bone Gary Stevens, did you?
I'm currently single.
Now what
I've
about
a bit of Larry?
Yeah, what's going on with your voice?
We partied.
Catch a horse fly.
We partied late last night, and I'm not feeling particularly well. I didn't like my nag anyway.
Do you ever hang with Gary Stevens?
Who does?
Oh no, he's a nerd.
Really?
He's a dick.
Yeah.
I don't like him at all.
Why not?
I don't like him.
All right. Well,
hey, I lost. Is there anything more that you need to know? I lost.
Yeah, I need to speak to one of your buddies there.
Who do you need to talk to?
Robbie Alborato.
Hold on just a second.
Okay, we're going to talk to jockey Robbie Alborato.
There we go.
Hey, Robbie.
He was on Golden Soul.
Robbie, the radio one.
I like that.
That was my bet. 50-1 odds.
Robbie.
Why not?
We need Robbie Alborato.
Yeah, no. This is Robbie.
How are things down there?
It's okay. We just, we're sitting here. We try to do the good race. We have a good time. We have a good Kentucky Derby.
Now, I want to ask you something.
Yeah, what's that?
You've been riding a long time. How many years?
35 years.
35 years?
Wow.
Yeah, 35 years.
Do you snap to attention when you hear this?
Man, my nipples get hard, man.
Really?
Oh, my nipples get really hard. Yeah, that's great. You know, you put the silks on, you hear the horns. It's great.
The horns?
Know? The horns.
The
yeah.
bugle.
Yeah, how do they go from a Hispanic accent to a New York accent?
Hey, do your nipples get hard when you talk to Gary Stevens?
Oh, Gary, nobody talks to Gary Stevens.
Hey, like, can I talk to him again?
Yeah,
is he there?
Okay.
Gary Stevens back on the line, please.
Hey, a-hole.
Everybody calls him that.
Yeah, we're well, in the then. Locker room now at Churchill Downs.
Not a popular jockey.
After 48 hours, the jockey's still in the locker room.
Hi.
Hi, Gary.
Gary Stevens.
Gary, how you been?
Hi, how are you? Good to be back on with you. What show is this, anyway?
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Pardon me?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes. Terrific. Love the show. I'll have to check it out, even though I haven't heard it. That's a joke. Gary Stevens.
Do you have a computer?
I do. I have three. I have three laptops. They're modified for my purposes. They're very small. They're the size of an iPad.
I remember.
But with a full functioning keyboard, and you can flip them open. They're like an iPad, but they're a full fledged laptop.
I remember when
they call it the Mac Air Mini.
I said when you saw the MacBook Air, you said it's too big.
It's the Mac Air Mini Jockey.
It's so small.
Gary Stevens.
All right, Gary, do you have a moment?
Of course I have a moment. That's why I'm talking to you.
I'd like to.
What the hell's wrong with you? Sound like you had a late night on Saturday.
We thought you might be busy.
I don't know what's going on.
Love to speak to who? Do you remember who wrote Normandy Invasion? It was Javier Castellano.
Oh, Javier. Yeah, I'll translate for Javier, but he does not speak English.
Oh, okay, that'll be great.
Well, thank you.
Tell Javier we said hello.
Oh, Javier. Javier, Gary Stevens will translate for you.
Just Javier.
Okay, here he is. He is now. You know?
Yes, Javier.
Si.
I want to know how you felt after your ride on Saturday.
No English.
Okay, what's his name? Stevens will translate for you. Gary Stevens.
You talk to Stevens?
Yes, yeah. But he'll translate.
He'll translate for you.
Gary Stevens here.
Hi, Gary. How you
want me to translate for you?
Yes, sure.
What's the question?
How do you feel after the ride?
Okay, Javier, they want to know, how do you feel after the ride?
That's not Spanish.
That's not Spanish. I speak English. Okay, I'm sorry about that, Gary Stevens.
Gary,
I guess this isn't working. Give us another jockey.
All right, I want to speak to
Gary Stevens.
You know, I think it was very exciting. The first woman jockey to ride in the Derby ever, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Is
that's
Rosie,
a pain in the ass. We don't need her.
Rosie Napravnik there?
Hey, get the slut.
Okay. Hey!
Oh, Gary Stevens.
Gary, that's no
way
to
talk. Here comes
Rosie. Ballsy.
Yeah.
Gary really is an animal.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Calling a dog.
Hello.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
Rosie.
Hey.
How are you?
You are really, really sexy voice, huh?
Hi, I'm Rosie. It's nice to meet you. What's your name?
My name is Rob.
Hi, Rob.
This is my friend Oscar.
Hey, now.
I was almost the first Kentucky Derby winner. He's a woman, you know, but I really didn't finish the money.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm so tired. It's been such
Rosie.
A stressful weekend.
Is that because
weekend.
You were banging Gary Stevens?
How did you know?
Just a wild guess.
Yes, Gary Stevens.
Gary Stevens?
None of the other jockeys like him, but I do.
That's what
why?
We learned.
Because he's just like the horses, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Small in stature, large in big, you know.
Well, the horses are actually really large in stature.
Ah, but what a race it was. It was a great weekend. It was a great weekend. I just can't wait to get home.
Do you ever get friendly with your saddle horn?
No, that's not very appropriate. You're a bad boy.
I am. Like a fair
question. Love, though, the racing. I love the motion of the horses. I love the up and the down and the up and the down and the thrusting forward and the torque and
bouncing.
The sheer power.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you wearing your silks right now?
Yes, I am.
Really?
My silk panties.
Oh,
do you want to talk to Gary?
I don't want to talk to Gary. I want to speak to the guy
Sweetheart,
who was on.
They don't want to talk to you.
Tell him I said I got help.
I want to the guy who was on Giant Finish. Can you get me Jose Espinosa?
Okay.
She
really speaks a little better than Javier does.
Good. I think that'd be great.
She really is a slum.
Hi, hey, how's it going?
Going good, you know.
I had to pick the paper. I forgot your name. Jose Espinosa.
Jose Espinosa.
How was the race, Jose?
It's a good race. We take a time to race the horse, and the horse goes sometimes fast, sometimes slow, the horse don't perform. You know,
what do you do when the horse is, when the horse is underperforming? What do?
I give you the whip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, give the wheel.
You ever do that to Rosie?
No. She don't talk to me. But I tried to cheat one time. I buy a spur.
Oh, that's no good.
Those aren't allowed.
I spur. I come in the jingle jangle too much, and they throw me off of the track.
Right.
That's funny, right?
Horse no like.
Yeah.
No.
Espinosa like.
Yeah.
Come on.
Did Gary Stevens like that?
I don't speak to him.
Why not?
He's a big a-hole.
Everyone says so.
I think we have time to speak
He's
to...
He's banging Rosie, though.
I know, yeah.
You going to speak to the winner?
I want to speak to one last jockey, and because I like this name a lot.
Okay.
Is Kevin Krieger there?
Hold on just a second.
Kevin Krieger.
Kevin Krieger.
Yo, man, what's up?
How you doing, Kevin?
What's up?
Kevin Kruger.
How you doing, man?
Tell me in a few words.
You know, I was the first African American jockey. You know
I don't think you're black.
Yeah, I think I am.
Well, you're not the first.
I hope I am. Yeah. I think that was his name, man. But you're born
in St. Croix, Virgin Islands. You are the first African American jockey to win the Derby.
Where was I born again?
You were born in St. Croix, Virgin Islands.
Oh, sorry, wrong voice. Yeah, man. How you doing, man?
Well, I think that's terrific.
Great. You want to come down to the islands? Chila, ride your horse.
It's fun.
Yeah, man. It's a good time. Now I'm still doing the Mexican. I'm getting confused.
Are you the most relaxed jockey on the whole docket?
Man, chill out, have a good time. You know, I smoke a little weed, ride a little horse.
Really?
You know, it's all good.
Did you make weight?
It's all good. Oh, I make weight every time, man. I go through stuff. I eat something, I process it. I don't need no Greek yogurt or crap
really?
Like that, man.
Yeah.
I just do real, real well.
You're a natural flusher.
Do you think that Gary Stevens needs to relax?
Hey, man, I gotta get something off my chest.
Go ahead, guys.
You hear Mountain Dew dropped a Lil Wayne from their ad campaign?
I heard that. Yeah.
What's up with that ass, man?
You don't care for that?
That's crap. I don't like that.
Hey, before we go, can I speak to Gary Stevens one more time?
I hate that. I'm that man, that mofo. I'll kick his ass.
Well, let me speak to him, please.
I don't want you to talk to him.
Just a few words.
Yo, Gary.
Chill, Kevin.
I love Gary Stevens. He might be my favorite jockey.
Hi, Gary Stevens again.
He's back.
Can you give us...
Jockey extraordinaire. Just kidding. Gary Stevens.
I don't know why I want to ask you this. Can you tell me a weather report?
Muddy track. That's what I said to Rosie last night. Whoa!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Okay, we'll take about 5 minutes out here for the latest news from around the world from the award-winning Wino Newsroom. And then back with more of the big sounds for you here on the Scott Lane Get Together for Wonderful Wednesday afternoon. Wino time, ping pong, 5 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock. As soon as we come back, we'll be listening on Medical Records, Won't You Take My Heart by the Donors, and My Body is Rejecting Your Heart by the Recipients. But first, Wino News! Wino News! Wino News! From around the world, across the nation, and up your street, here it is! Wino News with Wino Newsman Bill Beeper. Saigon! Phnom Penh! Bangkok! That's it from Wino News. Details on the half hour! Okay, kids, and back with more of the big sounds for you here. Wino time, bing bong, 5 minutes past the big hour of 5 o'clock. Right here on Wonderful Wino, Wonderful Wino.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his Davenport, oh, that's so gay.
Oh, it is.
Here's Mike.
Live from Studio 1K in the Viperplex Broadcast Center, this is the Mike O'Mara Show, downloaded worldwide 17.5 million times and powered by Encore Insurance. We're at MikeO'MaraShow.com, 102.9 FM WTNT in Washington, D.C., and the mighty KCJJ.
I had to open with Carlin because we spent 30 minutes doing that on Saturday.
We did an awful lot of things
on Saturday.
And they may have taped a TV show. With our friend Oscar in the starring role.
Yeah.
Our show today brought to you by ProFlowers.com. Sibling rivalry doesn't end just because you all moved out of the house. Now, your brother sends cards for Mother's Day. Your sister remembers to call. How about this is your chance to one-up them both? Both of those... Bitch eyes and bastards.
Yeah, Kathy.
Send mom flowers like I did from proflowers.com. My flowers are being delivered on Saturday,
the day
before Mother's Day.
That'll show them.
Because I'm going to one-up my sister.
That's right.
A dozen rainbow roses and free glass vase, just $19.99. And for just $29.98, double the roses.
Double roses.
Add chocolates, and you still get the free glass vase.
I think that's pronounced glace vase.
GlazeFoz.
Yes, that's
just
it.
Use the code TMOS when you order. Pro Flowers are guaranteed to last a week or your money back. And Pro Flowers was recently awarded highest customer satisfaction among online flower retails by J.D. Power. We use them. We love them. Remember, to get these special prices, go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in TMOS. I do it like 50 times because they ask for it about 50 times.
You just keep doing it?
Oh, I put it when I'm not supposed to put it.
Every chance you get.
If there's just a blank spot, I write their address, I put in TMOS.
Can you do that with your eyes closed? You have those four keys memorized?
You know what I just realized as I'm talking about it? Go to proflowers.com.
Yeah, do it.
I have to take advantage of our brand new mailbox, and if you want to know what it is, send all correspondence, cards, letters, anything you'd like to The Mike O'Mara Show, P.O. Box 3, Manassas, Virginia, 20108, and we thank you in advance.
Perfect.
Thank you very much. In the great tradition of being me, I believe I set this mailbox up last week. And I haven't been to the post office since.
Oh, I think that's nice. Well, the post office is nice because what you can do is you can go and show up and get regular gossip from town.
Is Josh here?
Josh is
He's
packing T-shirts, so he's busy.
He's busy.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's,
but you know what?
You know what he does? This is what he does. He knows that I want Josh to go to the mailbox.
I think
now,
that the mailbox.
And he doesn't want it. He wants Mike to go to the mailbox.
No, you know what?
Because he likes Mike to do everything that he tells him
to
do.
Can I offer this?
To the contrary.
To the contrary.
Yes. I think it would be a great challenge. We have approximately 75 minutes left in today's show.
Yes.
Do you think Josh could get to the mailbox and back? I'm sorry, 65 minutes.
Yes.
Could he get back in those 65 minutes?
Oh, my God. You can walk to the mailbox.
Sure, I would
Josh!
I would say that's his job overall.
I don't know where my keys are.
And why not?
Well, that would be a problem then.
They might be in the drawer.
Which drawer? Office box key drawer?
Josh, keys in the narrow drawer next to the refrigerator, and bring them to me, please. Thank you very much.
Above the floor next to the table.
Post office
Had a
haste.
Great time with our intern, Josh, on Saturday at Jimmy's. We're going to talk about
wonderful
that.
Wonderful company.
Because we all enjoy the company of Josh and and Josh's wonderful girlfriend, who is just a delight to be around.
Very nice.
And we were in the establishment for, I believe, 34 hours.
We were. We just left, as a matter of fact.
A total of 34 hours, with you and I having very little to do.
I disagree. When you spend 11 hours in a building,
yes.
If you can devote 20 minutes of those 11 hours to doing something,
right.
I'd say it's a day well spent.
We had one really good segment, you and I.
And that's the 20 minutes.
And then I had a segment that was...
You looked, and you know what? You looked
you just
really.
Need one.
All right, here's the key.
One good one. My God.
The segment you did without
you
me.
Have.
Right, here's the key.
Rudy the repairman.
Yeah, or our janitor. What do you do after work? Look at that.
What's it says? World's best disc jockey?
My dad, my hero.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
nice.
Great.
A hole.
I couldn't read it.
All right.
Did you buy that for yourself?
Yeah, Rob.
And then a little picture of my two angels.
Looks like a lock and cowboy.
Oh, that's sweet.
Very nice.
It's very near and dear to my heart.
Well, of course.
So don't lose it, Josh.
Is that your curves?
Don't lose them.
What keychain on there?
I don't have a curves keychain.
I didn't know.
Curves?
Curves. You mean the
little coupon?
Give me a break.
The lady skewing fitness establishment curves?
Josh?
Only women have big keychains like that. And janitors.
I carried mine down.
And kid touchers.
That's right. Josh?
Why kid touchers?
Because they're walking around.
Well, no, they would have to have a quiet keychain.
With their keys on their crotch.
To sneak up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'll do it. I'm going to do it.
No, locksmiths. I want the mail today.
All right.
Yeah. Hold on. It's all about you, Mike.
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
Jeez.
This is the key to mailbox 3.
That's a beautiful key.
This is the key to mailbox 3 at the post office in Manassas. If you go now, you won't have a cow, and you'll be able to please our asses. I don't know.
What please the masses.
Thank you very much.
Please the masses.
Please the masses. Yeah, okay.
Is it going to be a disappointment or a surprise is the question.
The what's in the mailbox?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know where the post office is, Josh?
I don't know.
It's in Old Town. It's not in New Town. It's in Old Town. It's just up the street. It's not in the modern era. You're from Manassas.
He knows
what I'm
exactly
talking about.
Where it is.
He knows where
it's
it
next
is.
Next to Drucker's.
He knows. He's from here.
I think we're going to get one package, two letters, a banana peel, and a BM.
So the taping of the regulars was held on Saturday at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern.
Where's Ozzy?
And Rob and I were there. Oscar was there.
Right.
And
eventually.
Holstein and the entire TV crew was there.
Of course, yes.
And Rob, I got there super early.
In time for the hockey game, right?
Yes, because I wanted to watch the hockey game. And
another win for the Cats.
Another big win.
And that was fun to have that with you. I liked watching that with you.
It was so much fun. What I noticed, though, is I noticed what I might become. If I really let it get out of control.
I really hope
you don't. Because I never, even in my bar, I didn't have this little I had regulars, but they weren't these kind of regulars. Well, and you know these guys are there at like 11:30 in the morning,
hardcore,
and they're having beers and shots.
Most of the time that I've been to Jimmy's, it's been an evening affair.
Yes.
Now, I have been there for lunch a few times.
It's a great place to go for lunch.
What Jimmy has, especially on the weekend, are his daylight regulars.
And
a different breed.
I've never been around them.
Yeah.
And it was really, really interesting to see that, but also look at that and just say, you know, well, what are you doing there, Trevor? Sure.
Yeah. Did you feel like when George saw Mr. Gower in the bar in the future in It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you know me?
No, it was very strange. Very, very strange. And Rob picked up on it immediately when I said, boy, you know who should be here, Rob? And Rob said, who? I said, Herbie from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And Rob didn't even miss a beat and go, and what type of profession did he want to practice? He wanted to be a dentist.
He wanted to be a dentist.
I thought you were going to say the Moodies.
No, the Moodies got there later.
Yeah, they were there.
The Moodies got there later.
But for all of us,
I don't think they're the daytimers. They go in the evening.
You know what they are? The dinner eaters.
That's right.
They like to stop by for 3 bottles of wine and a sandwich.
And then they were out of there.
But Mike, Oscar, and I, we all had a 3 o'clock call for Jimmy's.
Yeah.
Mike was there at noon.
I was there at noon just because I wanted to see the game. It was not, so I can't claim that I was there because I'm super professional, man.
No.
Rob arrives at 2 o'clock.
Oh, nice.
For three, that's...
Well,
Star boy.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mr. I'm so effing important, I do whatever I want.
He's very busy.
Arrives for his show, which he delayed the production by 40 minutes.
Oh, please.
He arrived at 3:40.
Oh, that's unfashionably late.
No, but everyone waiting for him.
The production can proceed without him because he is the star.
Yeah. It's all about him. Now,
do I hear resentment?
I'm ready to get the explanation of this because you summarily blew it off when you arrived.
Yes.
And so I was going to wait till today to discuss it with you because I want to find out what's in your head. Is it that that you just, you know, figured it wouldn't be getting underway? Is it because you want to do an entrance? Mm-hmm. Or is it
I knew that when the game was going into overtime, that there's no way we could start filming until the game was over.
This is really, really, this is posturing.
A strategy.
Because what happened, you said.
The game was at least an hour.
I'm telling you, I texted Michael Holstein. I said, look, I'm leaving right now. I'll probably be there 10 minutes late. He said, take your time. We can't start.
I got you, Oscar Santana. Michael Holstein shared your text with me.
He said, we can't start until the caps are over.
But your text posture was... traffic is horrible. I'm going to be a few minutes late.
That was your text.
You arrived, you said, yeah, I'm working on it. Which really is dismissive, rude, and also inappropriate.
The last two guys I'm going to get S from is you two.
Why?
Because you enjoy sitting there doing nothing.
That's not true.
I enjoyed getting started on the project.
So here's the explanation. Oscar's explanation as to why he was late by over a half an hour.
Yeah, closer to an hour.
Is because he likes to work harder.
Hit the ground running.
No.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I've been down this road before.
Yes.
When you get somewhere,
and he was late then, too.
When you get somewhere,
was there traffic on it?
No.
Yes, the road. There was an accident on the road.
When you get somewhere, and look, there's no excuse for being late here. But when I talked to Michael,
the production crew was on time. The cameramen were on time. The PA was on time. The production assistant. All the regulars.
They were not.
They
I
were
got
not
there
on time.
Before them.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not the star.
Did they have a call time?
Yes, there were two people that were later than I was,
and there were two no-shows.
Yes, and two no-shows.
Now, I didn't involve myself in getting these people lined up.
Well, neither did I.
And I'm curious. I am very, very curious as to how one would, you know, bust out the people that say they're going to be, because there are only 8 slots for this.
Right,
right.
As it is, it worked out well. There were 6 contestants.
It actually worked out better with the number of people that were there.
With the 6.
And the people that were there were the ones we definitely wanted to show.
But you know from doing radio contests as well.
Yes.
The people that want to be in on everything,
mm-hmm.
and there you, and then they just blow it off. Those people should be punished in some way.
I agree. Well,
those people should be punished in some way.
I think there's a lot at play here. One is
they will be.
That they overbook and they overcast for this reason alone.
They yes. know.
There's always people that are going to either gonna not flake. Show or
they're
not going to
We do
or
a, we do a contest.
Something will come up.
We do the same yeah. thing on radio contests, but I still never suffer those people because those people are usually the very first people that want to be in.
Yes.
They're just like, me, user, me, users, me, me, me.
Right? No,
me,
I understand.
Me. Speaking of me, me. So why were you late again?
Well, I don't think that's really the point here. I think the reality is that the effort that was put in was great on all our ends.
The effort to be there on time?
Well, I think you guys are focusing on the wrong thing.
I don't know. I think we're focused on the right thing.
It was a great day of filming.
It was a success.
Have you not worked with me long enough to realize that I value punctuality above all other things?
No, no, no. You say that.
I do.
But someone could be punctual and offer nothing, and then you'd be upset with them there.
Yeah, but I love punctuality. Yes.
He does.
I mean, you know, to be honest with you, back in the day, Don and I were it was one of the things we always had in common.
Yes.
And we would actually bump into each other at it could have been a Blockbuster video store and opening. We would bump into each other, circling the block half an hour early, getting ready to be there at a live appearance.
Again, there is no excuse for being late.
There you go.
Any form in life.
Not traffic, not the fact that the hockey game was on. Whether, there are no excuses.
Whether you're on camera or you're getting there for a game or you're doing a radio show every day, 5 days a week.
With the hockey game, yes. with the hockey game, you still could have gotten there and sort of laid the groundwork because you had to do that for a long
time.
You
win.
Yes.
You win.
Thank
I
you.
Agree with you.
Well, I'm not trying to win.
Well, you've won.
I'm not trying to win.
But
I'm
you
just
haven't
to,
even tried and you've won.
I'm trying to demonstrate how completely annoyed we both were.
I
sitting there at the bar.
Point
well,
taken.
There. Well,
and by the way, I had you arriving. I had you arriving at 3:10.
Oh,
I lost
really?
And what did I say?
You said way after 3:10, closer to bottom of the hour.
Yeah. I won the bet. We didn't even bet any. I didn't wager on the Kentucky Derby, and I didn't wager on Oscar's punctuality.
I know.
And I would have. I wouldn't have won the Derby.
I would have made a small wager that Oscar was actually in the Kentucky Derby.
One of the cameramen, the guy that looked like Paul Giamatti, who was. Oh, I love the guy.
He
absolutely
nice.
Loved the guy. Put a bet down. Bet
the trifecta.
Bet the exacta.
Oh, the exacta.
Is it no? It was a, no. It's the
exacta. Exactly.
Because he bet Orb the winner, and then like 10 horses in the field.
Okay. He won almost $1,000
on like $36 out.
Wow.
Like
good
he
for
bet
him.
He bet a bunch of $2 bets.
Excellent.
Really
and then
kind
he
of
said, we're not drinking Merlot.
It could have happened to a nicer guy.
So on to the actual production itself. Mm-hmm. There is a lot, as I said, Oscar has demonstrated that all I like to do is sit at a bar and do nothing
and complain.
So it was and complain. Thank you.
You know
so,
what?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to do with my Saturday after the game was over. If I could have gotten out of there on an effing skateboard, I would have done it.
Although I have known you and
pain in the ass.
You.
I hated not
Is
doing anything.
Is it my
anything.
Fault?
No.
Okay.
You really
Why
kept the complaining.
I feel like it.
You kept
it's
the
Monday.
You kept the complaining to a bare minimum, at least till sundown.
Oh no, yeah, that's fair. It's fair. At
you
sundown,
you were great company.
At sundown,
I think
I heard
we
it.
Both were.
You
For
know,
a long time.
The bottom line with a Michael Holstein production is kind of difficult to get annoyed because he actually
he's
really good at what he does.
Super kind.
He makes it look well. He doesn't. He lets us be us.
Yeah.
And you know, there are a few things that I liked, and there were very few things that I didn't like. I can't complain about the whole production.
I've said this.
It was just a long day.
I've said this in the past that it's hard for guys like us. While the opportunity is priceless to do something like this,
mm-hmm.
because we're used to being just on the radio.
Yeah, and as far as I was concerned, really, and this is kind of a tribute to Holstein as well, he's found something, at least if this thing flies, for me to do that I really, is that the only mail
very
we have?
Calm.
Oh, we got the mail guy.
We got a flyer from Costco.
Mailman Josh
nice.
Is here.
We got a flyer from Leslie's Swimming Pool Supplies.
Nice.
And we got a postcard. Ladies and gentlemen, who is the first person
to
send us
great.
A postcard?
First
this is so exciting.
Post Office Box 3.
Here we go.
There's no name.
Of course.
What?
There's no name. It's just pictures of 50s movie stars. It says, hi, Mike and the boys.
That's for Rob.
Hey, Mark. I bet Vistaprint would do a postcard like this of all the TMOS characters on it.
I see.
A always be. I forget it. I can't read the
okay.
name. But thank you. Whoever
First
sent this.
First postcard.
Who sent it? I can't see.
The postcard market is heating up.
Good day, gentlemen. I said good day, and that was the first person that sent us a postcard.
Big win. I was wrong.
Box 3, Manassas, Virginia.
We actually had something.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And that's a visit to our post office box.
Wasn't that exciting?
Yes, it was.
That's all the mail we got in a week. So
get used to it.
The postcard
by
idea.
By the way, I don't know how much we pay for the post office box, but let's assign a value to each piece of mail.
Oh, why don't we do that?
We take the... divided by 3.
The Mike O'Mara Show, Box 3, Manassas, Virginia, 20108.
I think it's worth it just to play the letters element for the first time in 8 years.
We'll be next.
Yeah. You know what? Send us a Mother's Day gift because we're a bunch of bad mothers.
You're bad. You're bad.
We will take a break. We will come back and finish this discussion of the regulars.
Yes.
More fun and more thrills. And, you know, all the other stuff we do on this show.
Exactly.
I'm not going to tease. Thank you. We'll be right back. You will when you won't. Say you do, baby, when you don't. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Encore Insurance Services.
Encore!
People who bring you this show every weeknight on WTNT.
Thank you.
Encore will compare rates to help you save. Let me ask you a personal favor. This is the company that supports us just about as much as anybody has
ever supported us.
Do me a favor. Check them out and just get a free insurance quote. Visit smartterm.com or call this number, 866-347-5748. That's 866-347-5748. And check them out. They are wonderful folks, and they bring us this show on TNT every single night. Licensing and disclaimer info at smartterm.com. Let them know you appreciate them as much as we do. Encore Insurance Services, and we thank them. Okay, so, Oscar, what I really want you to do is discuss the process, because to be honest with you, Rob and I were up at the bar. We had nothing to do with the contestants other than I don't want to like tip the hand and tell you what the show is all about.
Right.
But I had some interaction with them, and then
you filmed some cut-ins,
and then Rob and I did a little segment where we were observing the contestants and making funny comments.
Yeah, all I did is I introduced myself to each contestant just so I could say hi.
Right.
You had that as far as you know, the little cut-ins you did, but I will applaud you, Mike. You lasted a half hour longer than I did before you tilted your first alcoholic beverage.
Yes. Yeah.
You did. You held off till 5 p.m.
Look, if I had started at the hockey game at 12:30.
Yeah.
I would not have made the dinner bell for our TV thing.
4:30, I started.
As it was, you know, it was quite an evening.
It worked out.
It ended up in the wee hours.
I say we both finished up at about the right time.
I think you're right.
Yeah. What? Jockey and the horse hit the finish line at the same time.
Amen. Amen. So tell me about the actual shooting of the show.
I'll try as long as Rob doesn't interrupt me, please.
Well, good luck with that.
Okay, well, you're the star.
So I think the most important part. I interrupted myself. The most important thing to know is the fact that since we are radio guys, and anyone that's ever done anything on TV or something outside of radio in that medium, they realize that TV itself isn't one of those payoff mediums. So you don't know exactly what you're going to get, how that take went. You don't get the response that you're used to getting from callers, from your colleagues, from anyone else, because it's really cut and dry. And you're almost, at certain times, taking 10-11 takes of that same element.
Kind of drives people, be safe to say, in the radio profession that are doing TV, kind of drives us nuts.
It's tough.
It's pretty intense.
Because you're not used to that.
We're used to right now.
When we finish the show, it's done. The show is done when we're done.
And the speed, and also people that are in radio that do what we do in radio, move at a different speed than TV does.
So it's a lot of hurry up and go.
Yeah. Yes.
So the premise now for the show and the way it was filmed, and thank you to Jimmy and all the patrons at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern.
Except
for Uncle Dave, yeah. Right. Uncle Dave, Blue. I had everybody calling him Blue by the end of the night,
Dave was a biblical pain in the ass.
Yeah. And he's not saying he blew as the
just
past
because
tense
he's,
of blow.
I love Uncle Dave. I really do. I love Uncle Dave. I do. But he's just there.
Yeah,
he's there. Just going, a brief
vignette.
Like, what are you doing? You know,
a brief vignette to illustrate the ABCs of Uncle Dave.
Please, Uncle Dave is the 90-year-old man that Jimmy hires to be there and do everything.
He's color. He's local color.
He's a character. He's a local character.
And when we showed up, he was wearing a Capitals T-shirt.
Right.
And as soon as the game finished, he couldn't wait to take it off because he doesn't care.
He doesn't. He lies.
He
wore a Capitals hat and a Capitals T-shirt.
I got a Hawaiian shirt in the car. And as soon as the game's over, I'm putting it on.
The key
that
to me,
is awesome.
The key, the nicest man in the world, Jimmy Cerrito. The key to me was when the game began, and at that point, when I arrived, there was not, there weren't that many people in the bar.
It was early.
I'm talking to Uncle Dave because he's hanging out, and I know him, and he's a friend of mine. And I'm talking to him, and then the game starts, and he's just talking.
He keeps going.
The Capitals saying he has zero interest in the game. And Jimmy, I knew this when Jimmy went by and said, "Watch the game, Uncle Dave."
Yeah, like a cow.
Apparently, Uncle Dave is such a poser when it comes to being a sports fan.
Yeah. Yes.
He could care less about any sport. Mm-hmm. He's not a sports fan.
Right.
He pretends he's a sports fan. He wants to talk. And so he is sitting there, the TV with the game on it.
Very
and incidentally,
friendly.
When the Caps game is on, you know, I am. You can put me in a 4x4 room with a television and leave me alone in the dark, and I am perfectly okay with that.
Right.
I am not okay with maintaining a dialogue with people. And now in a public situation, I'll also say, "Hey, I'm not trying to be rude
to
you.
You're flexible,
but I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be watching this game. And
right.
Just, it's
right.
My way of saying, you know, so shut the f up.
Right. Right. There.
Well, Uncle Dave just Jimmy. You know, Jimmy does a flyby. Watch the game, Uncle Dave. And it's just.
What, do you remember any of the topics that Uncle Dave was broaching?
I'm not listening to a syllable that he's saying, but he's going and then I remember like that. And I said, I finally turned to him. I said. Are you a fan? You're wearing the T-shirt and the hat. Uh-huh. You don't even watch.
Yeah.
You don't even watch.
Yeah, you know? He doesn't.
It's an outing.
Yeah.
It's an outing for him.
A lot of the talking was, because I saw you tuning him out. He said, I don't know about all these TV people.
So I had my... to skip ahead, and I'll get back to the bulk of the show, and I want to hear about it, because I didn't see what was going on. The one moment that I am taping with Rob, where Rob and I really have to be funny. And
hour 20 minutes.
We're trying to do our thing. This is
focus.
Our moment to really, and we think, you know, if it goes, I really would love to see some of the stuff on TV.
It's performance time.
But it's a pilot, and who knows whether it'll be reshot or whatever.
Right.
But you still want to be good.
Yes.
And so I'm recording the only part that I care about, and we're doing some good stuff.
Yeah, it was good.
And then in the shot, Uncle Dave, you know, everybody, people aren't going to the bathroom because they want us to get this shot done.
Right.
Uncle Dave just strolls through the shot and goes, nah, 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 nah. And I said, I looked at him, I turned around, it's the first time I've ever looked at him, I said, what the F are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
I said, dude, to him. Yeah. I said, what are you doing,
dude? You were powerful. And the thing is, it wasn't even subtle. There was three cameras.
Yeah,
there was lights
right,
on
right,
us.
Right.
And he comes by and goes,
mic'd up.
Just walks up and talks to me. He's like, yeah. Bah, 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 bah.
I was on a TV,
I'm like,
people.
Stop it. Dude. Go stand and do nothing in that other part of the bar where you stand and do nothing.
It's the only time of the whole day that Michael Holstein furrowed his brow.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That wasn't really? The only time.
No.
No.
There were two challenges to the shoot, as
okay.
I understand them. Okay. There was
Oscar's arrival.
There was Uncle Dave. Uh-huh. And then there was the fact is that at Jimmy's, and Jimmy gracious to literally turn his bar on a Saturday over to a production crew.
Yeah, could not have been nicer.
So you can't really.
A big thank you.
Jimmy's got to be Jimmy. But then, you know, when they'd be shooting and. Alrighty, we got something going on here right now. And that's what he does.
Jimmy
and Jimmy, I think in fairness to Jimmy, he didn't do it nearly as much as he would on Kentucky.
No, as the shooting concluded, and we do want to get back to Oscar, but I must say.
It's okay, I'm used to this.
As the clock struck one, Mike.
Yes.
As the clock struck one.
1 a.m.?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I found out that the seat where I had lit was right by one of Jimmy's speakers.
Right.
And he was busy thanking everyone over and over and over and over and over and over again. I turned to Josh, who was going to give me a lift that night. I said, Josh, it is so loud in here.
Oh, God.
I think it's time to go.
Yeah.
Because that you did that noise. And that
we were guilty, too.
You were.
We were guilty, too.
You ruined
too.
At least three shots, both of you.
Did we really?
Yes.
We really did?
Yes.
Yeah, ruined or improved?
You ruined. Because we were filming and then out into the boat. Mike, what do you think? Rob, what do you think?
That was mostly early.
And I will tell you, that segment when we were doing... my bit was that we would do the lineup for the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
And make horrible names up for the horses.
Yes.
Oh.
And the jockeys. And Rob and I were having a good time, and there were like three. I'm giving us credit.
Nah. Okay.
There were three people that enjoyed the bit.
Yeah.
And we're over the PA, and the vast majority of people, including that lady next to you.
Oh, the blonde lady.
Who hated us and wanted to leave because of us.
Uh-huh. When the bit
I'm
was
really
over.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Well, I don't know. I think Jimmy was most upset that there were kids in the bar, and maybe some of the stuff skewed blue. But he said, hey, we got four-year-olds. But when the lady finally got up to leave, and she was right up my ass the whole time, and scowling, I could feel her look. And I got
a little long in the tooth, but not a bad POA.
Well, I mean, she must have been great when Carter was president. So I took the microphone in the bar, and I said, and I want to do a special warm thank you to everyone who has enjoyed Mike and I monkeying around on the microphone today. You've really made it all. And I turned to her, and I said, worthwhile.
It's like I hate anybody else on the microphone when I'm talking to somebody.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm eating you know, my lunch and having club soda and watching a hockey game, you know, get off that microphone. Then give me like three beers. That's all it takes. And then the microphone becomes my friend.
You guys are entertainers.
Yeah.
And
can't help it.
At one point, one of the production guys looked at their PA and said, go get that effing mic away from me. So there was a good lull to shoot, because when you're shooting, you basically are hoping that everybody who's mic'd up, they get picked up, right. and nothing yeah. else. So there was right. really no music for the most of the
but
evening.
But that was so yeah, great.
And then the customers didn't like that.
They didn't like that
they
at all.
Like
what
at
was
all.
So great about the two things, the two environments butting heads, is the PA wants to kill us.
Right.
Meanwhile, Jimmy's coming up to us at the bar and saying, here's another battery in case it runs out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
So I didn't even realize
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, my apologies.
There was three solid shots that were like, got it. And then at the tail end, at each shot, it's like you guys knew what was going to happen before we finished. Within 30 seconds, rah, 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 like some announcement
well,
or some bit you guys were doing.
With supreme respect.
Yes.
You know, I'll give the production crew credit when they deserve credit. They got to let people know that.
Oh,
that's
no.
true.
They've got to let Jimmy know, and they've got to let us know, because we've got that microphone up there, and because we had absolutely, we were so far away from you, we had no
yes.
idea what was
yeah.
going on.
I think Jimmy might have known.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think he was asked politely a couple times.
We'll take a break. Come right back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what I did this past weekend.
Took aspirin?
I took aspirin.
Lots and lots of aspirin.
I arranged on Saturday for a delivery that my mother-in-law and my wife,
nice.
Soon-to-be mom of my son, they really enjoyed. And that was a double order of Sherry's Berries.
Oh, you did Doppelberries, Mike.
Doppelberries, Sherry's Berries, a terrific thing to send for Mother's Day. Great fresh dipped strawberries from Sherry's. They are the best.
They are.
I said this to my wife over the weekend. I had the pleasure of having a couple of these amazing berries, and I will say that the quality of the berries, I didn't think it could get any better.
It's shocking.
They're not only big, but these berries are so incredible, and they dip them in like a gallon of chocolate each.
Juicy,
they're
full
so
of flavor.
Delicious.
Oh,
they're
As a boy, I used to grow strawberries. I used to pick and grow
amazing.
Strawberries, and usually the smaller berries are the tastier ones.
You
not the case. These are some sort of
it.
Genetic mutation.
Oh, it's fantastic.
They're wonderful.
They're dipped in chocolate from Sherry's. They start at just $19.99. That's 40% off. Go right now to berries.com. Click the microphone and type in TMOS, and you can double the berries.
Double.
For just $10 more, like I did.
Worth it.
And they have, you know, you have the standard chocolate dipped berries, but then they had beautifully designed Mother's Day berries that are special and colorful.
Wow.
And they went over very well. And then we were able to have my daughters come over for a dinner last night, and they even enjoyed some berries.
Did they assist in the propping you up?
They were fine. Everybody was a little tired. My daughters, because they'd worked.
Sure.
Me, because I'd played.
Yeah.
And,
well, you worked.
It was my daughter. And her boyfriend.
Uh-huh. Oh, how nice.
Yes. And Elizabeth.
Right.
And Carla and myself. And after dinner, I made lobster stew for everybody.
Oh, that's so kind of you.
And then our dessert was Sherry's Berries.
You know what? You have to be very careful, though, Mike. Be very careful not to drop the berries.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
Oh, no.
Wow. They're really big.
B-E-R-R-I-E-S, berries.com, or use the TMOS code at 866-FRUIT-02. So, as usual, here we are back on the same thing, but we can't get Jimmy's out of our head. So, I had no idea. The bottom line, we were talking about screwing up the shots, because you guys were on the other side of the room.
Oh, they might as well have been in Paris.
Again, I think that this is what any production company goes through.
Sure.
Because you simply have a live bar. And then you also have what is really a cast that is sitting there filming a TV show.
And right. it's a line, because they probably want some bar
they
atmosphere.
They need the live bar to make that happen.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it's a common, I think, common issue when you come into that type of place. But the reality, I think, is you guys will be happy with what comes across as far as the show is concerned. And
so
the pilot.
My part's in it.
Your part has to be in it. I think both your parts have to be in it.
Yeah, not my part.
Not at all in it.
Not my part. I didn't sign the release.
And
screw you, Holstein.
I mean, the one part that I did. The second part, the first part I did, I don't care whether
he's a magician at editing.
I look forward
to
it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that when you walk away from a project like this, for us, we walk away with that empty feeling.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, it's a great experience. It's not that payoff you get in our medium,
it's
radio.
True.
But I was very happy with the way it went down. I was concerned with my early interaction with the contestants.
Mm-hmm.
It struck me that they perhaps needed to lube up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about KY.
No.
I'm talking about having having an adult beverage. It would seem to be the only observation I had, because I didn't see what was going on from a distance.
Yes.
And when I looked over, it indicated to me they seemed to get better as the evening progressed and they had some adult beverages.
Oscar certainly woke up at about 12:30.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think on the other hand, when you're drinking for 11 hours and you know that you have to, in one way or another, communicate with people.
Right.
Like it would be drink, stop. Then drink, stop.
Right.
So they were actually trying to pace them. And
it's
Jimmy
a
did a great job of feeding them, make sure they didn't get too hammered, so they weren't slurring their words the whole time.
Right.
So I'm excited about what will be the final product. I'm glad that you guys were able to be a part of it. The
mm-hmm.
people that went out there, Jimmy couldn't have been a nicer host.
Right.
And he got some good camera time. So
it was a great day.
Yeah, I hope I'm not speaking out of school at all, but I will tell you that no matter what happens with this project,
yes.
you're going to be able to see what we did.
You will.
Yeah.
So,
it'll be a lot of fun.
We're hoping that this gets put up and picked up and, that Oscar has a great long run with this and mm-hmm. that we're involved with the project as well. If, the very least, the minimum, it won't be for naught. We will. You will see the work that we did at Jimmy's.
There's a
and,
payoff.
You got to be realistic about television. You got a 50-50 chance whenever these things are done.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. And there were some fine fetching women that were,
oh, yes.
that were participants
that
in this
they
too.
Cast. Absolutely.
Very, very, very
yeah.
nice.
Wonderful.
And, very interesting looking guys. And it should be
rugged, I think. What's the word we're looking for? Is it rugged?
Well, Teller was my favorite.
Teller, he was nice.
The guy that looked like Pendulette's Teller.
Yeah, I liked him.
That was, and he does very well in the pilot.
Excellent.
Should be interesting. So it's called The Regulars. We'll keep you posted and let you know.
You're such a jerk.
When it's out.
There was a moment where Mike grabbed me. This is after. There was no turn. Like, I never saw Mike turn.
Right.
Well, because you were working and we were drinking.
Yeah, so. Oh, did you see the turn?
I was part of the turn.
Oh, no.
I think I was the one who told him to turn. I said, turn
the
now.
Turn to evil.
Turn to the dark side.
Yeah.
Not really. Oscar's
I didn't
right.
feel it.
It was not. It was just kind of a rolling, fun
you
afternoon.
Were, I do know that there was a one.
My
point,
only turn would have been when I kind of went off, and I feel bad for that. That I kind of went off on Uncle Dave, but he walked right through the shot.
I think
I was
the best turn
ready to get out of there.
And I don't think I'm speaking out of school is when you walked away from the bar and you said Adele took my seat.
Oh my God,
Adele was there.
I nearly wet myself,
jeez.
And that was partially the joke and partially 8 gallons of Stella Artois. But either way, I almost released.
It was he's a great host and Jimmy is a wonderful host. He really is
and
takes care of everybody there.
We
could
have found
we
a better
it.
Bar to do that at. In the
right.
local area.
I agree.
Like,
yeah, because
I mean, we're right outside D.C., and his bar has so much history.
It's
and
got
so
great
much,
character.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's got great
it's
character.
It's going to look great on television.
Yeah. And looking forward to that expansion, too. I don't know how that's going to work.
Wow, you know what they've got?
You get a look at that subfloor?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It looks
I
like,
went next door as
oh
well.
Oh, boy.
It looks like right after the intermission and Gone with the Wind when Atlanta
I got a
tip. Burned.
I've got a tip for that that outbuilding that you're going to modify as to the expanded wing of Jimmy's Old Town Tavern.
It's the Buffalo Wing!
Here's how I think you take care of that whole building. Just by a
start
yeah,
fresh.
I think you start from scratch.
When you're looking
when
at
a
timber,
subfloor is that bad, it's
when
it's
you're looking literally at timber from the Civil War that they've exposed,
mm-hmm.
I did not feel safe in there. But I'm sure that's going to be fine.
It's gonna be A-okay. It's amazing that building had a second floor.
You guys are such great friends.
Oh, I think it was nice as a you wouldn't believe
poor guy, it's always excited for.
Yeah.
If you go to his
good
new
luck
wing
with that.
And you put a marble on the floor, you don't believe the speed it builds up.
Right.
Just rolling because it ain't level, pal.
I mean, the quality of that building, I would say, just put up a tent.
Yeah.
Just put up a tent.
Something on wheels?
Something
absolutely.
Sturdy and safe. Yeah.
It was fun looking in there, though.
It was very cool.
I looked down where they'd excavated the floor, and I mean excavated the floor, and I said, did you find anything, like, cool down there?
Bones or anything.
From years ago? Because it is Civil War era.
Yeah. Right. He let me hit the wall with a hammer.
Did he really?
Yeah, that was cool.
So there, it's either going to be a very, very extensive renovation, which is, they might do it. Depends. It's not Jimmy's call. It's
no,
the people
it's
that own the building.
Right, of course.
Or they might, put a whole new structure up there. And either way, though, Jimmy is going to expand, and I'm excited for him.
He's
for
very
that, especially
excited.
For his kitchen and new bathrooms.
Yeah.
He needs
please.
Both.
God, new bathrooms.
The third option, of course, is to leave it as is and call it Jimmy's Old Town Rustic Tavern.
Yeah, leave it as
it's
is.
It's a little piece of history in every entree.
You get an extra plate of wings if you fall through the floor. Way to go.
What time did you leave? Because I left around like 1-ish. Last call. We were there till last call.
Yeah, so you were there till 2. I left at 1. I left at 1.
Just shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
But anyway, same thing.
A fun time, though.
Yeah. Oh, very good time.
Nice.
Good time was had by all, followed by the day. And the day
after the night before?
I knew this was going to happen because I knew we were going to have to be there all day long, and I knew it was going to be a late night, and I knew that this was what I had to do. On Wednesday, I had gone to visit my daughters and invited them over for dinner, and Elizabeth gave me the little doe eyes and said, "Will you make your lobster stew?" Oh. I said, "You know what, honey? I will. I haven't seen you guys in a while. I'll make that special for you."
And then you left, and they said, "Ah, we got it.
We got it." So because I had spent the evening at Jimmy's, Carla had picked me up and brought me home, God love her, in the wee hours of the morning. She's a good wife.
She was up late.
And she, or you might call it up early.
I was going to try and give you the benefit of the doubt.
Might be up early in the morning.
Could be.
So I had to go back and pick my bike up over at Jimmy's, and we had to get lobsters, and we had to cut them up, and it's a soup. It's a stew.
Yes. Right.
And so you need to do it that way. So it's kind of I don't want to say it's labor intensive.
It's a process.
But they steam them for you, so it's not all that, but it's a process.
Right. It is. Right.
And I was a little sleep deprived.
Yeah.
To say the least. And you have talked about Wegmans again and again.
Not a fan.
We're driving over to get the motorcycle. I said, we have to get the lobsters. They'll have them at that Wegmans because they have a decent seafood department.
Did your voice sound like that, or was it more like,
we have to get the lobsters? The girls are coming over at 4:30. We only have a certain amount of time. The Wegmans in Dulles Airport area is the only one. I know it's usually crowded.
I know the exact one you mean.
There. So let's go over there.
So we say, before we pick up the motorcycle, what a great idea to go together and get all the stuff we need to make the stew.
As a family.
It's a stew, so it's Carla, myself, and she thinks it's a great idea.
Right.
And I think it's a great idea until we pull into the parking lot.
Yeah. Not so great.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for
this
people.
Is right at Route 28 and Waxpool.
This is Northern Virginia.
Oh, at its worst.
At the Northern Virginia-ist.
I used to go to lunch at that Wegmans.
It is
so bad.
It is a nightmare.
It is a Noctmar.
It is a total nightmare. Look, I'm all for a place being good, okay? Based on the foot traffic in that store, don't build another one. Build seven more.
Yeah.
Build seven more, and maybe you will alleviate some of the traffic
crunch.
I have never seen anything like it. Grocery stores are going out of business all the time around here.
It's always packed.
Your Giant just closed up.
But here's the thing. Yeah. I realize we live in the zit.
Yes.
But my point is, we live in the zit, but Wegmans is cheaper than some of the other grocery stores overall.
They should build them here.
They should build at least one.
Isn't there one down the road?
No.
No, and they just closed your Giant.
There's one in his town, in Buzz's town.
29.
They just closed your Giant, the one up on 28. That's. But you know what?
That's not the...
Wegmans is going to say...
Maybe I see your point. That won't go.
But you know what Wegmans will say? I'm not sure that's an appropriate facility one of our
what they
establishments.
Do, they like this whole area, this whole discriminatory area that we live in. They put the stores where the people are with the money.
Well,
that's
Ashburn,
it, and I don't live where their people are with the money.
Ashburn
that's
is
it.
A disaster. That whole deal there
it's
is
just,
so bad. You can't even get into that shopping center, first of all.
The parking, I said, oh, my God.
Right.
I looked at it, I said, oh, my God.
It's crazy.
There are
popular.
thousands of cars in this parking lot.
And did it piss you off?
That's what it looked like. There probably weren't thousands.
There were. Though. And when you saw the thousands of people, did it piss you off that they're all excited to be there?
They're excited
to be a part of that disaster.
All I know, I immediately know when we find a space, and I said...
And you think that's a victory.
If that's how bad this parking lot is. Okay. And it's just everybody... In their own world. The idea of even the fantasy of having an excuse me or someone you.
No.
That's. You are in New York City in Times Square at New Year's Eve.
Right.
There are shopping carts. There are mommies. There are children. Mm-hmm. There are elderly people.
It's crazy.
There are people. And no one. So you know you're going to run. You're not going to be going shopping. You're going to be running an effing gauntlet.
That's what it is.
Exactly.
An obstacle course.
So it's get in and get out. Now, the good news, and this is where it's the love-hate with Wegmans.
Right.
The good news is they got people working there that have their S together.
They know what they're doing.
They know how to do what they're doing. So that was pleasant.
But you see, I know what I'm doing in a grocery store. store anyway, so I don't need that.
But the prices were good, too. When you're getting some lobsters made, you wanted to. I was hoping we'd get a deal. There was a good deal. They had
I'm
a good,
curious
they
about
They were only
one
$100
thing.
A pound.
Now, you bought, I'm sure you bought lobsters. You bought probably whole milk.
Yes.
Butter.
Yes.
Now, did you buy anything there?
No butter.
No butter. Did you buy anything there that you did not set out to buy when you got there?
Yes.
They win! They win!
I needed lobster crackers. Okay.
I've got a couple points here. Yes. One is... Do you park in the expecting mom parking space?
Do they have those?
Yes, they have those.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of the shopping centers have those.
Yeah, things. I didn't know you'd take advantage of that there.
Really?
That's one.
Oh, no. You know what? I forgot, because of Carl, I thought you were just giving him ass.
I mean, I have this beard. I have this beard. Since I'm the father that's married to the expecting mom, can I park there when she's not with me?
Oh, well, that's a problem.
No.
I'm waiting for her. And here's her photo.
There's also, I think, a better Wegmans for you in Gainesville.
Well, of course, but that's the point. We weren't there.
Oh.
So I had an experience. Now I understand where our boy over here has the issue with this because it was just like, I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I couldn't
and you
believe
went to one that's, you like went that. To one that's even worse than the one I went to.
Oh, my God.
Because I went to the one that's just outside of Leesburg, and it's not quite as Ashburn-y.
Yes.
But you're right in Ashburn, and that's...
It's always like that.
Look, I've lived here for a very long time, but I completely commiserate with the people that you hear it all the time around here.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get the hell out of here.
Right. Yeah.
It's just because we are living in a beehive, and it's not a city beehive.
No.
It's a suburb beehive.
Yeah. The worst.
It's a
the
beehive kind, where people are, there's no infrastructure. There are not a lot of options.
Right.
So when something's good, it coagulates blocked artery.
We were blessed to spend an extended amount of time in New York City. And
yes.
The city, of course, this goes without saying, has an energy and an excitement
right.
and an urgency
fun.
That gives positive outcome to it. I mean, that excitement is great. That crowd is exciting. It makes you do
right.
stuff. Makes you be a part of it. Not the same in the suburbs.
Not the same in the burbs. Right. What it is just a pure inconvenience.
Yeah.
And an inconvenience you have to drive to and you have to park to. And in New York, which is the beehive, everybody stacked on top, worst traffic in the world. But you have, you know, every five blocks, you've got something unique and good and cool. Mm-hmm. And because the concentration of people is so significant, in the suburbs, it's the worst of everything.
Yeah, you know what? I think
it's terrible.
New York, if it was worth seeing, you could walk to it.
Yes.
Right.
And you know
or
what?
Take the subway.
And you can't walk anywhere.
No.
In Loudoun County, Mike.
And so there it was, like the only grocery store for 4 million people that exists. And it was you know, and
did you get a kind
I was,
word?
As I said, I was a little sleep deprived.
Did you get a kind word from anyone?
No.
Because when
I didn't get an excuse me from anyone. I didn't get a yield from it. I got a lot of people, and especially a lot of young guys, that would just stand.
Yeah.
Just stand in a bed, kind of like Uncle Dave.
Yeah.
Would just stand in a certain location and not move and just be like.
When I was at the end of my rope.
What am I going to buy now?
My last time at Wegmans, an old lady came to me and said, "Do you know what?" I said, "What?" She said, "These are the best gumdrops in the world."
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Enjoy."
What do you really want to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to hit her.
Why don't
I wanted
you,
kick
why
her,
don't
walk
you take,
her out.
That wasn't nice.
Why don't you try to ingest all of them and not in your mouth?
Do you want to eat these now?
Trying
do
to
you
be
want
friendly.
To eat them,
here,
old
I'm
lady?
Gonna, I'm going to force feed you like you're in a scene from Caligula, you old wench.
I fed her all the gumdrops and then stole the tennis balls off her walker.
Right. But she was very nice.
Yeah.
This is something with the that just came out today. Last year, the average American driver wasted 38 hours. It's related to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
38 hours sitting in traffic. While the occasional traffic jam inconveniences most drivers, some unlucky people live in the nation's most congested cities. In addition to spending an average of 42 hours a year,
a whole work week
in traffic, drivers in these cities face peak hour congestion that could increase travel time during rush hour by 15% or more. You ready for the top 10?
Go ahead.
Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
the
please.
Top 10
drum roll.
Worst cities for traffic. Number 10, the aforementioned Boston Strong. Congestion score, 14.7.
Are they done digging that city up yet?
The Big Dig
is finished, yes.
Yeah, the Big Dig's finished.
And
that.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, but it's not amazing enough to make it any better.
Oh, no.
It's pretty. And the difference, I can speak from experience in Boston, and you can too, There's an impatience in Boston where when traffic opens up, be careful when you're crossing the street in Boston.
No.
People travel at pretty good pace.
All right.
Number nine, right here in our backyard, Washington, D.C.
Not surprised.
Congestion score 16.4. Just 76% of all D.C. area commuters used a private vehicle to get to work in 2011. That is less than nearly all the other large metro areas. Huh. And as many as 14.8% used public transit, among the most in the nation.
Really?
But with the Washington area among the nation's most congested,
Amen.
The average commuter time to work, 34.5 minutes, behind only Oof. New York.
Does that include traffic. Northern Virginia and Maryland?
Of course it
the
does.
The D.C. area?
Yeah, okay. Of course it does.
Every time I have someone in from out of town, I apologize.
Then
because it looks that bad around here.
We also know if like one thing goes wrong, and they like say they shut down 66.
Yes.
Oh.
And they shut down 66 like 20 miles down the road, you're like, oh, it's in a different area. Town, no big deal. No.
Nope.
It changes everything.
There's a reason they call it an artery, because if they shut down an artery in your body, you die. If you shut down an artery like 66, the city
no
dies.
No excuse, but on Saturday, they had a brush fire on 66, and they shut down both ways.
And it kills them.
And I was like, what? I thought something was happening. I thought there was a Nationals game that I missed out on. I didn't know what was going on.
And that is, it's interesting you bring that up, because on that particular road here in our beautiful backyard, that is the Saturday volume of traffic is the wild card.
It's already.
We get it Monday through Sunday now. It's Monday through Sunday. Yeah. It's every day of the week.
And essentially, it's one road that connects the middle of D.C.
Right.
To the outburbs.
And so your odds on that particular road, you're not going to get. Beltway may be a little better.
Right.
The main drag, Route 66, that goes from D.C. out to here, all bets are off, because it can be bad on the weekend.
And the trouble with our transit system, and even Boston's Big Dig, is it can't keep up. Traffic and population keep growing faster than projects can keep up.
So number eight is Seattle. Number seven is San Jose.
Do you know the way?
That's amazing, Santa. And we have a lot of people that listen to the show out in San Jose,
yes,
too.
We do.
Number six, Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Really?
I always call it the zit of Connecticut.
Is it really? Is.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
New York's
asshole.
Suburb.
Didn't know the Connecticut had a zit.
Number five, New York. Number four, Austin, Texas. Number three, San Francisco.
Austin.
Number two always surprises me when I hear this, and I love Buzz to pronounce it, a little town in Hawaii known as
Honolulu.
And that is number two.
The reason that it's so slow is everyone's trying to figure out how to say the name of the city.
And number one, Los Angeles. There it is.
Yeah.
Los
Top
Angeles.
10, baby.
We've got to try harder.
Number seven next year for sure.
We will take a break. Come back with Robin His Magic Audio Vault of the Mike Colbert Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This segment brought to you by our Amazon page. Remember, if you're looking to get mom more than candy and flowers this year, the Amazon link at MikeO'MaraShow.com will help you find just about anything, and probably for less. Amazon has free one-day shipping on gift cards, so mom can pick out exactly what she wants. Amazon ships the card right to your mom.
What does she get?
Anything she wants.
Anything.
Amazon ships the card right to your mom in his very own gift box.
Yeah.
For Mother's Day.
So box.
Comes in a box. Every day.
That is one box gift.
Bookmark the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page.
Thank you.
Let's open up the audio vault for today, Monday, May, is this May?
6th.
Yeah. 2013. I wrote down May 5th. Cinco, it's not Cinco de Mayo.
No, that was yesterday.
Did you celebrate Cinco de Mayo?
No.
Yeah.
No. I was still recovering from May 4th.
Yeah. God, yeah, May 4th was festive.
Yeah, it's a three-day weekend.
Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mike, we talked about this after the show on Friday, when you finally figured out your bagpipe record, and it was actually In a Big Country by Big Country.
And
very catchy.
Now, some nerd nick on Facebook.
I got the message as
well. We all got
that
it.
It's guitar.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it sounds like bagpipe.
Yeah.
So, but that's not the point. The point is when you told me it was Big Country, my one thing that I relate to in Big Country is the 80s song, Do They Know It's Christmas? The flip side of the 45, all the people that sang on that record did greetings. And I think Big Country is from Scotland.
Rob loves this.
And I've been saying this since 1985.
This is Bruce Watson from Big Country. Feed the people. Stay alive.
Feed the people, Mike. Feed the people.
Right to the point. He loves it.
Feed the people. Feed the people. Feed the people. Feed the people.
I was 13. I was laughing at that.
So you bought the Christmas album?
Oh, I still have it. Yeah, it's in the jukebox at Christmas time.
Sure, who are you talking to? Of course
he
bought it.
I bought it so you don't have
to.
That's
all
right. But please, feed the people.
Feed the people.
But that's not the main song I want you to hear today, Mike. Because this is the one that's going to burn up the dance floor. If they were playing music at Jimmy's on Saturday, this is the record they should have been playing. Do you remember the name Patricia Krenzel?
No.
No.
Oh, you should. That's the tanning mom. Remember the tan mom?
Yeah, famous tan mom. Really, comedians all over the world trying to keep this woman's image alive.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hear her new record.
Feed the people.
That's not it.
Hey. It's Tan Mom.
That's her?
Are you ready? It's Patricia.
Oh. Oh, she's so nasty.
I've got a message to use protection from the sun. Ha 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 ha.
Oh my god.
I wanna get my tan on.
Now wouldn't it have been great if this had ruined a take?
Yeah, who would do this?
Oh my god. The teen mom.
Waiting on an explosion.
She sounds as nasty as she looks.
Sounds like she looks, yeah. You know, want to blow this up, please? Please?
Sorry. I'm sorry. I got distracted when we were talking about people on the internet sending us different stuff. So I post Saturday morning a nice little video from Jon Stewart's Daily Show
about pizza.
It's an old one where he riffed on Donald Trump taking Sarah Palin out for this crappy pizza. And it's really, really hysterical. And I just do it for fun, right? And then I get this guy that's on the same thread as me, and he writes something like, "Well, I said Jon Stewart's the funniest man on television,"
right?
And this guy just writes, just randomly, early, like third post, "Your definition of funniest and mine must be different."
Oh my!
Nah,
and I'm just like, you dick, don't do that. That's the type of thing that's ruining Facebook for people.
Yeah, do you want to call this guy up by name?
I'm just trying to find it.
Okay. While we do that, it was, Mike, I know that one of the things you missed over the weekend is Metallica Day at AT&T Park.
Andrew Lyon.
Where's Ozzy?
Lick my bag.
Yeah. He's not the king of the jungle.
Yeah. We have different definitions of funniest, Mike.
Yeah, I bet you can agree on the definition of a-hole.
And it's funny, I can't see his image. Oh, that's right. He must have been blocked.
Oh! Douche. So it was Metallica Day at AT&T Park. That's where the Giants play, right?
Yes.
Giants were playing the Dodgers, and Metallica actually did the national anthem. And while I'm not a real metalhead, I appreciate their talent. They are a really great band.
Not bad. Very cool. Oh, I like that.
So pretty good day for fans out there. But, of course, the most exciting 2 minutes in sports is the Kentucky Derby.
The Derby!
And I think we both agreed that while it was a great race, the most fun was watching Justin the bartender watch the race.
Justin is the engine that drives Jimmy. He is the greatest bartender in the world. He is phenomenal.
Do you want to tell the game you played?
He's got childlike enthusiasm.
You would say to Josh and myself, you'd say, "How many syllables of this sentence will I say before he has a beer in front of me?" And you'd count out the syllables. "Justin, I need another beer." Beer. That's 9 syllables.
My favorite was when I went,
and you hear, and it would be one in front of us.
That's awesome.
But it was a great race.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby, and Normandy Invasion has taken the lead on the outside. Orb is coming with giant strides in the center of the track, and here comes Orb on the outside now to take the lead as they come down to the 16th pole. It is Orb in front from Normandy Invasion. My Loot and Golden Soul between horses down to the wire. Orb has won the Kentucky Derby. It was Golden Soul. Revolutionary came late on the inside, and it was Orb today in the Derby. His final time was 2:02.89 seconds.
It was a great race. Yeah, it's so much fun to watch.
Do you know the guy's name that does
that? I don't know the TV call. The guy that does the TV call actually is the guy at Churchill Downs.
Okay, yeah, and it's just he's terrific at it. I mean, he's really, really good at what he does.
But he's not Tom Allen.
You don't like Tom Allen.
All that preparation for 2 minutes, it's like sex.
It is a little bit, and then it's over.
Very similar to that, and this moment of crescendo, and then boom.
And then they show you all the other races.
Now, was it the trainer?
And also the sloppy track.
Was it the trainer? I think it was the trainer we were making fun of.
The owner, I think.
Was it the owner?
I think it was the owner. He looked unhappy.
It was the owner. You made fun of him.
He looked so... But I think after I saw a guy interviewed the day after, and it looked like the same guy, and they were interviewing him as the trainer.
Oh.
I have no idea. But you know what? This goes for all people. I love when you get the big win. I want to see some joy.
Yeah, you know.
I don't
want to
see.
And you know, you got to react. You owe that to people that care more than
you do.
And
don't try to play
it cool.
Right.
Yeah, we got tired of watching him after many years, but Bob Baffert, that white-headed trader, the white-haired guy.
Yeah, with the glasses, sunglasses.
Yeah, but he would show enthusiasm. Right. He was fun to watch, even though he was kind of a dick. I liked watching him.
And no first, no history-making first, and there were potential for the first African-American that would win the race, the first woman that would win the race, so none of that happened, unfortunately.
First disc jockey to win the race. What was his name? Steve Hawkins? I forget his name.
Gary Stevens.
Gary Stevens, that's it. Also over the weekend, Mike, was the 2013 Snooker Championship.
Really?
Did you follow this?
Oh, yeah.
It fooled me.
Yeah.
Now, you know, snooker is a, I get it, is like pool with, I believe, smaller balls, hey now, and a smaller pocket. So it's actually more a more precise game.
Mini pool.
Yeah, than billiards.
I like any game with smaller balls.
Yes, of course. Well, then you're one of talking about the two champs, Ronnie Sullivan and Judd Trumm.
Okay.
But what happens is they call for quiet, not unlike golf when they play snooker.
Really?
And
snooker?
Snooker.
Yeah.
And what someone did during the quiet is something that happens perhaps after a rich meal.
Oh, really?
And it wasn't a competitor. It was a patron. It was someone in the audience. And it was enough to make a guy.
Is this a Scottish game?
I think it leans British.
British?
But what happened?
I was just going to say somebody had a little too much haggis.
But the guy was in the middle of his shot and he had to stop.
Oh, dear.
Here's the clip.
A bit of noise in the crowd there.
Now I've isolated the noise.
That's just, and I love the understated broadcaster. That makes me laugh.
I've isolated the noise. I'll play the full clip, but I want you to hear what caused the man to break concentration, okay? A moment, please. Shh. Now, let's go to the clip.
A bit of noise in the crowd there.
It was Uncle Dave.
I don't know what that sounded like. It sounded a bit strange. Well, the last time I heard a noise like that, I think it was playing against Big Bill Werbenick many years ago.
Oh, dear.
Settle down now, please. Thank you.
Yeah, silence on the set,
oh,
please.
That's fantastic.
And that noise once again, Mike. That's right.
Wow.
Let us close with Bill Maher. Bill Maher had a very, I think, another very high broadcast.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But he was talking about the fact that we've got two popes and one Vatican.
Okay. Pope Benedict has moved back into the Vatican. Remember the old pope? The Pope Emeritus, they call him now. He had
Can
been,
you stop for just a second?
Yeah, Matt.
I got a theory. I think Bill Maher is just getting obliterated before he goes on.
I didn't watch it last week. He sounded really high this week.
I saw him live in at one of the theaters in Baltimore, and he had the same. I mean, it was the same delivery.
Right.
When
I
thought like a live show, you'd have a little more upbeat. You'd really be into it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that might just be the way he is. Like, I mean, he's just so. His delivery.
His eyes are never puffy or red, and you know, his thoughts are fairly lucid.
Well, Visine can help that.
I want to say
his thoughts
high
are lucid.
Because
no, that's
I
the problem. His thoughts are not lucid. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
It could be just a guy having a bad day. It might not, but it seems to me that there are times when he's on his game, and then there are times when there was a time when he had Jimmy Kimmel on. Maybe not.
I saw
last
that
week.
One. It was last week.
Where's this just gaping hole where
the
you look at
show.
Him and he's just like kind of
rhythm was off.
And the one thing I do remember, the one time we walked into his production office. Remember we were just walking around Television City,
right?
Candy everywhere. I mean, drawers and bowls of candy
guilty.
Everywhere.
So who knows? Go play the tape again.
Here's back to the very. He never smoked a joint in his life. It's Bill Maher.
Pontifical summer residence called Castel Gandolfo, or as I call it, Club Ped. But he's now back in the back. It's the first time two popes have ever lived together. In the Vatican, there's some crazy mix-ups, but they have a chart on the refrigerator to tell each one whose turn it is to be infallible. Okay.
So that is your magic audio vault.
That's good stuff.
And we live to tell about it.
Oh, man, that snooker thing killed me. We'll take a break. Come back with Buzz and News on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's not waste any time. Get him in here. He's got lots of news. There was a big weekend, and Israel's going to war again.
That's right, and people are farting at the snooker game.
Buzz Burbank, take it away.
Thank you, guys. We're brought to you today by Strine Creative. You've seen what Gabe Strine's done for us. Well, now you can put him, his team, to work for you on all your graphic designs. Strine Creative, not just round-headed DJs. It's branding and marketing for the print, the web, and even animation. Let Strine Creative help your ideas come to life. StrineCreative.com. Or just click his eye-catching ad on our website. Well, scientists may have found a cure for gray hair.
Researchers in England.
Too late.
My beard just called. He wants to say thank you.
That's right.
This may come in handy. You okay. like this. Researchers in England say they have discovered that our hair turns gray because of a buildup of hydrogen peroxide in our hair follicles. At varying points in our lives, our hair starts to bleach itself.
You mean the same stuff that we use on a cut?
The same stuff you use to bleach your hair. We actually grow it in our own follicles. The researchers say they have created a topical solution that reverses this process, restoring hair to its original natural color without dyes or tarnishes.
Do you remember what Do you remember what your original hair color was, Mike?
No.
I know. On the color chart, what was it close to?
You know what? What it was close to is what it looks like right now.
Yeah.
This is my beard was like a reddish brown.
That's
what it looked like.
I think it was redder.
Probably a little redder.
The Tequila Sunrise. That's what it. Yeah. Redder.
Now, I color my beard. I have never touched my hair. I've never put any coloring in my hair. Like Buzz has. But I've never done it. I'm letting that. But that gets grayer slowly. But it gets grayer by the year.
That's why you know what? That's why I don't do much of a beard anymore.
Because it's gray.
A lot of gray in it. Yeah, I hate it.
That's why
like
I don't do sideburns. Because I think it's gray from here down.
Most men's facial hair grays a lot earlier than their regular.
Mostly married men.
Now, if you work overtime, would you rather get time and a half for it or time off? State and federal workers already have that choice. Now, Republicans in Congress are pushing to let private sector employers offer the same option. Critics worry that employers will pressure workers to take time off instead of the money, but many workers say they would rather have the free time.
Does anyone still use CBS's policy, which is to make you work overtime but don't give you any money for it?
That's the way it goes.
That's the way they used to do it when we
And really, you know, you make a joke about it, but broadcasting companies in particular, because people love what they do, and we actually
10 people that want your job at any time.
And we love performing. You know, we do whatever. I mean,
my first radio job was 3 hours a week. I worked one day a week on Sunday for a 3-hour shift at $1.30 an hour, which was at that time minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
That was the minimum wage. It was also very cold.
Now Buzz does.
It was cold.
Now Buzz is like 30 years later. He does 6 hours a week for the same money.
Give us those statistics again when you worked.
One day a week, 3 hours a day, $1.30 an hour.
You have tape of that broadcast somewhere. I
do.
Don't know where
Give
it
me
is.
A moment. I do have that.
I'd love
Hopefully
to hear
we can
that
get
again.
That before it's, the end of the show.
Always great to go down memory lane.
Right.
Your 401k has not looked this good in a while. The stock markets are setting new records. The Dow crossed the 15,000 mark. On Friday for the first time ever. And
Obama!
Yeah. And a lot of this is because American companies are adding jobs. Finding new oil and gas reserves also boosted the economy. Oil imports are at a 17-year low. And it was all private sector with no new government help. That's a win for the Republicans who've been touting that approach all along. The job news would have been even better without the government sequester. Still, unemployment inched down to 7.5% last month as companies added 165,000 new jobs, more than expected. That's a win for Democrats. Under less pressure about the economy, the president can now focus on issues like immigration, climate change, and gun control.
Found that air check of Buzz.
This is Buzz back when you were getting paid. What was the amount?
$1.30 an hour.
This is one of Buzz's broadcasts.
Go to the tape.
They're standing still now. They've dropped ropes out of the nose of the ship.
His voice is different.
It was a big hour that he did.
Yeah,
though.
He did. Yeah, he did.
You lost this gig, right?
Yeah, I did. I mean, when this horrible Hindenburg tragedy was over, I you know, first of all, I was saying to myself, $1.30 an hour, it's not worth it.
That's not. Yeah.
And the other thing I said is, damn, it's cold.
All right, kill that.
The president.
Hey, you know what? That was May 6, 1937. That's today that the Hindenburg blew up.
How weird is that?
That's very weird.
Very strange.
Now I have goosebumps. Yeah. Not because of the temperature.
Right.
The president can now focus on things like immigration, climate change, and gun control. He's got that economic pressure off of him. But the president has launched an all-out attack, a siege on our gun rights, according to the NRA's Wayne LaPierre, who was among the speakers at this year's National Rifle Association convention in Houston. Quoting him, they're coming at us with a vengeance to destroy us.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin and Ted Nugent were also there, accusing the president of using the Newtown...
And Glenn Beck.
And accusing the Newtown families as props to promote his alleged anti-gun agenda.
I tell you, you want to know the NRA's a right-wing extremist group. You just look at the playlist. That's all you have to do.
I don't know what you have against Theodore Nugent.
Theodore, what
a musician. Israel bombed a military research facility in Syria yesterday to keep Syria from using new missiles that can deliver chemical weapons farther.
Hey, this is Eric Ronick from Black Gold.
And with more accuracy.
This is when, I know it's tragic when there's any kind of ordinance that goes off and things explode. But real quickly, this is when Israel is kind of like Jackie Mason. Because they don't own up to it.
Right.
It could be very dangerous, but we just said that for the warhead that blew up. If it gets into the wrong hands of the Hezbollah, we're going to have a problem. So we take the thing and we do it.
I don't know why it happened. It came from nowhere.
No.
They have sort of owned up to it. Israel says it bombed the facility to protect itself, not in defense of the rebels.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Go ahead. Go do it. Do it.
We now know more about the Republicans' new revelations about the attack on our embassy in Benghazi last September. Their chief witness is a former top envoy in Libya. Contrary to early reports from the Obama administration, the envoy says he thought it was a terrorist attack from the get-go, and he says he's not the only one. The bombing that killed 4 Americans and injured 10 others was described as spontaneous, but it happened during the presidential campaign with the election just 7 weeks away. And finally, we're sure they meant well. A women's club in Devon, England had a guest speaker coming, and they wanted to make him feel welcome. The speaker was a 75-year-old ship's captain, and he was coming to the club to talk about pirates. The women, dressed up in pirate hats and striped shirts and bandanas and mustaches and peg legs and swords.
That's nice.
And that's what they were wearing as they sat there listening to his story of being kidnapped and held hostage for 47 days by actual Somali pirates.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
Polly, want a do-over? I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, I'd love to be in that room.
Can you imagine?
Oops.
Jeez, it's uncomfortable.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Our show today was brought to you by ProFlowers.com. Sorry for the screw-up, baby. Remember, you know, your brothers, your sisters, they're all going to be competing against you for Mother's Day.
Make them look like us.
You know, make mom love you the best. Just $29.98, double your roses, and add chocolates. You will still get a free glass vase, and use the code TMOS when you order. Pro flowers are guaranteed to last a week or your money back, everybody. Remember, these special prices. Go to proflowers.com, click the microphone in the top right corner, and type in TMOS. Order now. These special prices expire soon at proflowers.com. Tomorrow, hopefully, we will have a discussion about all the wonderful things that happen on NBC when they go to the ABBA Museum in Sweden.
Also, yes, tomorrow,
I'm watching the Crap Today show again.
Tomorrow, I've got more Ryan Lochte stuff to make you hate him even more. And do you know that Reese Witherspoon's foot is further in her mouth now?
Fantastic. Something to look forward to. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Thank you.